Today is September 22nd, 2021. This is episode number 556 of the Apple Context Machine. That's a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Brian Chaffin, and I am both a mess, and I hate moving. So listen, I got to tell you right now, right up front, I'm not on my right mic because I cannot find it. I'm on a different mic. It's causing latency, so I know I don't sound as good as I normally do. And then I'm also going to sound even more confused sometimes than I normally am, which is scary. To get the full story on anything we can cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot me a note at macobserver.com/contextmachine. That'll take you to our Facebook group. Joining me today is my old pal, Jeff Gamet.
Brian, yeah. I am so proud of you for showing up.
For showing it's, up or off?
Showing up.
Ah.
As you were fessing up to your microphone woes, it mm-hmm. occurred to me, I could have totally covered for you and made it into this really cool thing by jumping in before that and saying, "Wow, Brian, it's so great that you're here joining us from the TMO mobile recording studio on location."
On location. Yeah, I'm on location in my new place. I moved yesterday and finally got my computer set back up at about 11 at night. And then mm-hmm. had to run back to my old place because I realized I'd left part of my microphone stand clamp. Got back, set up the microphone stand, and said, "Well, where's my microphone?" I have no idea. It's in a box here somewhere.
I'm laughing at your pain, and that's so wrong and yet so right.
it's absolutely appropriate. And some of those pauses on my part is because I've got a little lag in my ear and I'm trying to talk around it. But I just apologize to all our listeners. And if you want to just skip this episode, don't, because I've got a great sponsor, LinkedIn Jobs. I'm going to tell you about them a little bit later. See how I did that, Jeff?
That was great. That was just amazing. By the way, I don't have latency. I don't know what your problem is.
Fair enough. My problem is latency. So like when I speak, I've got a slight delay over what I hear in my ear. But I hear you just fine. And when you have that little like fraction of a second delay, your brain sometimes rebels.
Right. It totally does. And if you have enough of a latency problem, then you're talking pace gets
slower,
worse.
Yeah. Slower and slower and slower, which is funny, sort of. But
it is.
More warnings. This microphone is more likely to pick up Ichabod's antics, including like, you know, chewing on a squeaky toy or barking at someone outside. So, you know, and Eve is visiting today too. So you're going to pick up any barking that she does.
So your office manager is there and the field operative is in the office today too.
Yes. And they will both make noises, I have no doubt.
Well, to be fair, they are the bosses, and you just need to put up with them. That's how it works.
Absolutely
right?
True. Absolutely true. How are you? I mean, like, I mean, we talked about my favorite thing, me, but how are you?
I'm doing great because...
Okay, that's enough of that.
I'm with
Let's
you.
Get on to our... I'm kidding.
Yeah, you know, actually, I'm doing all right. It's been... weird because we've had all this smoke from fires.
Oh yeah, you're welcome, by the way.
Yeah, a lot of it comes from you. Some of it comes from Colorado. None of it has been from nearby fires this year.
Where is that smoke going? Is that what's part of what it's feeding into Las Vegas?
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, it's weird that this year, for all the fires that are going on, none so far have been near me. And that's surprising. Previous years,
which is great.
But you know, sadly, there's still time. But you know, like last year, I could stand outdoors, just outside my place, and if the smoke would let up enough, I could see the fire.
Yeah, man, that's some scary stuff. I was talking to a buddy that lives in Pennsylvania yesterday, mm-hmm. and he was telling me that he's been getting a lot of smoke from California, which is just crazy to me. And then, I'm sorry, go ahead. That was that latency.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with you. Carry on.
There was another story about all the fires in Siberia that are funneling soot and smoke into the Arctic. And so you get a lot of black snow going right now.
Oh.
So that's super cool. And which, by the way, causes the ice to melt faster because it absorbs heat.
Of course.
So, I mean, things are just great.
They are. Yeah. Since you're talking about wind and air patterns and carrying particulates long distances, small rabbit hole for us.
Oh, excellent.
Sand dunes.
5 minutes into the show.
Right.
Spent the entire show in a rabbit hole. Anyway, sand dunes.
Yeah. Sand dunes in Colorado. You know, just like you're in the middle of the mountains and all of a sudden there's these, it looks like a Tatooine just suddenly in the middle of these mountains. Hmm. And it's massive. And all of that sand is from Africa. It's just carried on the wind and deposited there. It's
how long?
Weeks.
I said, you have brand new sand. You have vegetation that's been recently covered in sand. Is what you're telling me.
The sand is being continuously deposited.
But so, it began a few weeks ago.
No, it began thousands and thousands of years ago.
Okay.
I'm being a butt.
Man. Dude, I'm moving. I'm tired. Don't do that. Okay, so topic one, Jeff.
Brian.
So Apple released or announced and released a combination of the two of new devices just last week. And we didn't do a show last week. By the way, notice how I'm sort of like sort of co-opting you into this being your show again. I'm working on it, folks. I'm working on it. I want Jeff back.
Well, we'll see if we can come to an agreement.
Maybe. Excellent. You hear that?
But you know, top men
and dogs.
Right. And sometimes cat.
So, new devices. What do we get? We got iPad Mini, we got iPhone, we got Apple Watch, and seemed like there was something else.
Yeah, we got iPad.
iPad, right.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? Is that four new devices?
I was going to make a joke saying, no, they all wear clothes because it sounded to me like you said four nude devices.
Oh, God, that's fact, funny what you did there.
They would be nude devices. None of them were wearing clothes.
That is true.
Yes, we got four devices, and I'm glad to see that the quality of this show has remained consistent.
You're welcome. Right. So I ordered a new iPhone, the 13 Pro, and that's mainly for the camera improvements.
Mm-hmm.
I was excited enough about that to get a new 13 Pro. And I'm picking it up on Friday. When I didn't order until pretty midday, and deliveries were backed up, but pickup was fine.
Yeah, that's the trick. Don't do delivery, do pickup.
Yeah.
Because you're much more likely to get your delivery day.
Right. And I ordered a new case from, what are they called? I think it's Blackbrook. It used to be Berkeley cases. I've used it.
Did someone drop all the letters and put them back together wrong?
I don't know why they changed their name. Huh. But it's blackbrookcase.com. I'll include a note in the show notes. I'm going to send you a link to what I ordered, because you're going to, I think you're going to think it's cool.
I bet I will. You tend to have a pretty good taste in stuff like that.
Well, but it's super subjective. I mean, there are people who like clear cases. I mean, they're sociopaths, but they like clear cases. And, interesting. The coffee is not available anymore. Is that the one I got? Distress coffee. Oh, there we go. All right. Distress coffee.
Well, while you're worried about colors.
Yeah.
I'm going to clarify my statement. Your taste in products like this often aligns with mine. Therefore, your subjectiveness is parallel to mine.
Okay. Well, check that out. I messaged it to you.
Oh, look, I just got a message from Brian Chaffin.
Oh, man, you're so lucky.
I really am. Let's look at this thing. You see, you're such a jerk. You send me stuff like this, and then I look at it and like, oh, dude.
Look at the golden brown one right next to it. Those are my personal two choices.
Oh, man.
I like these guys. Aww. I've bought multiple iPad Pro cases from them, and I like what they do with leather.
This stuff is so nice. I mean, that burnished tan is nice too, but that golden brown. Oh, Brian, did it just get hot in here?
You like the golden brown more than the distressed coffee?
It's actually really hard to choose, because that distressed coffee, that's a look and a color that I really, really like.
Same.
I think I'm leaning back towards the distressed coffee.
So, by the way, these are leather finishes where the coloring is modeled, and you see not only some of the grain, but imperfections in the leather and stuff. Right.
Yeah,
is that a good description?
Imperfections. I wouldn't say that's the right word, because that implies that there's a bad blemish.
It's not like blemished.
You get to see the natural variation in the leather.
Yeah. And the same case, they've got the standard, there's an ostrich finish. There's a pebble finish. I've seen lots of those from lots of companies over the years. But I really like that distressed finish that they do.
I am with you. And I keep looking back at that golden brown, because it's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got a thing now for that distressed coffee.
Well, I will let you know how it is. They may offer something similar for the 12 Pro, because that was for ostensibly talking about Apple's new products.
Oh, right. Yeah, we're talking. Hey, okay. So, yeah, and you just said I have the 12 Pro, and I'm not getting the 13 Pro. And you said something a few minutes ago that that has just been stuck in my head, which is you got it mainly for the cameras. Mm-hmm. And that's actually not a throwaway line, which that's how you delivered. It was almost like a throwaway line. That's a big thing. And I've been looking at the changes and improvements that we're seeing in smartphones, in iPhones specifically, over the past few years. And while we're getting things like, oh, hey, you know, that they've made improvements to the display, or it's got a faster processor, or it has a new version of Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, things like that. That stuff isn't what's really drawing me in to a new phone the way the cameras do. I feel like we're getting these incremental minor, not always minor, but they're perceived as minor updates to our phones.
No, go an f-stop of 1.8 to 1.5 is significant.
Exactly. It's the cameras that are driving my interest in the new phones. And my original plan was, I'd pretty much outgrown my iPhone 10, and I was thinking, I'm just going to squeeze this along through the 12, and then whatever comes next is what I'll get. And then partway through this year, I realized this is ridiculous. I actually can't function properly with the right phone that I have. And I just need to go ahead and replace my iPhone now. And yes, I got more storage, which is actually a huge thing for me. And I got all the other things that come along with getting an iPhone 12 Pro. But the huge thing for me, after I got everything set up, it was the cameras. And when I looked at the iPhone 13 Pro, as they were going through the announcements, that, you know, they went through all the tech stuff, and I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then they got to the cameras, and that's where I was like really drawn in. And I love what they're doing with the cameras, and I would love to have those cameras. But I mean, geez, my iPhone 12 Pro is what, 6 months old, maybe. And I just couldn't justify turning around and replacing it that fast. So that means that when the iPhone 14 comes out and it'll have even crazier, more awesome cameras, that's what I'll be looking at. But it's the cameras that drive my phone purchases.
And if you look at the Learn More link for iPhone 13 Pro and Pro Max, the mm-hmm. first half of a very long page, pages and pages and pages of scrolling, is all dedicated to camera stuff.
It totally makes sense. I mean, we're at the point now where differences between phones isn't that big of a deal. It's the cameras where we're seeing these big changes and big improvements and something that's tangible for people to latch onto.
Right. Yeah. And clearly taking pictures and videos has become a part of everyday life in a way that people take completely for granted.
Yes. Yeah. And wow, these are really awesome cameras. And I will miss not having these cameras, which is actually saying a lot, because holy crap, the cameras on the iPhone 12 Pro are so nice.
Fantastic camera. All right, so let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. You are not getting a 13 because you recently got a 12. And what were you upgrading from?
I upgraded from a 10.
From a 10, okay. So you would have gotten a 13 Pro or Pro Max.
Pro. The Pro. Pro Max is too big for me.
It's too big for me.
Another rabbit hole, and then I'll let you get back to asking me what you're going to ask. I love that Apple finally did what I consider the right thing with the Pro and Pro Max, which is to make the feature set essentially the same So it's not like if I want to have the cameras, the pro cameras that actually do what I want, I have to get the Pro Max and not the Pro. That to me seemed like a horrible artificial delineator between the models.
I agree. I always thought Apple did that for size, like from spatial constraints. So I'm kind of wondering what changed to allow this.
It could be that we're getting the hey gang, hi. It's so cool that they made a cameo appearance. I think what they did is they put the bigger camera buff on.
Okay, we just had the dog action.
Let's see. Oh yes, I was talking about the cameras being the same on the Pro and the Pro Max. You had thought maybe that there was some physical reason why we didn't have the same cameras, and you may be right, and that may account for why we have an even bigger camera bump on the 13 Pro and Pro Max than we did on the 12 series.
That would make sense, and perhaps Apple found that there was frustration with people who were buying the Pro model and they're not getting the top of the line camera.
I bet they heard a lot of frustrated people, because it just, I mean, it's something we've dealt with the Pro and Pro Max for, well, since they introduced the Pro and Pro Max. And it's been, to me, ridiculous, because you're paying for the Pro phone, you should get the Pro cameras, period.
Yep. And the same cameras, I completely agree with you, and I'm glad to see Apple do it too. There is another really good thing, sort of mixed with a bad thing too, and that is the 3x optical zoom, which is great. What I question is how they're saying there's a 6x optical zoom range. And that might be technically correct, but I feel like a lot of people might think that means that it has a 6x optical zoom, which it doesn't. It's 2x in and it's 3x out.
Right. Yep. Yep. That's, that's misleading.
It's potentially misleading. They say it's usually in the marketing stuff that I've seen so far. You'll have in like on the same screen, it'll be like 3x optical zoom with a range of 6x. But I don't know one way that if it's intentional.
There has to be a better way to say that so that it's clearer, because my first assumption, based on knowing what Apple has done in the past, would be to think that they were saying, well, it's a 3x optical zoom, but we extend that out to 6x with software.
Which right, is not and that's correct. Not what this is referring to.
Right, not at all, no.
But the 3x zoom, optical zoom, is a big improvement over the 2x in the previous model.
Yes. And I would love to have that. I would love to have that macro.
Yeah.
But I don't have that. And so I'm looking forward to my next iPhone where I have that and more.
And more, right. Yeah, the 12 is such a great device. So the question I was going to ask is, we know why you did not order a 13. We know that you would have had you not just gotten the 12. I don't think that sane people, i.e. not me, need to upgrade from the 12 to the 13 unless they have a tradition of like hand-me-down devices in the family or something like that, or they're on like the next plan or another plan where they get a new device every year.
Right.
If you've got a 12, you have a great device. If you have an 11, you have a great device.
Yes, the breakpoint for me when I look at what we have right now is if you're on a 10 or earlier, you're at a good point to upgrade to a new iPhone.
Yeah, and it's going to put you on 5G too. But the camera improvements since the 10 are pretty tremendous.
Right, and the 10 had a good camera.
The 10 had a good camera. Actually, yeah. Everything since the 10 in particular, the 10, the 10S, the 11, 12, and now the 13, have had great cameras.
Yeah, I feel like Apple really stepped up the camera game, starting with the 7, and yeah. And then kicked it up when we got to the 10,
yeah.
And then it's just been like great from the 10 on. Which to me says a lot about the state of smartphones.
It's, yes.
It's the cameras that are the differentiating factors now, really.
At some point, like I'm assuming the back of the iPhone will be a giant lens.
Yeah. Well, I've seen the Photoshop jobs people have done where it looks like a spider eye on the back of the phone because it's just like 50 lenses or something.
Right. Just funny. All right. So our buying advice is if you were in the market for a new iPhone, you were thinking about it and you give a crap about cameras, get the 13 Pro or Pro Max. The camera on the regular 13 is also fine, but the 13 Pro camera is pretty phenomenal.
It is. Yep. If you're getting a new iPhone, get at least 256 gig of storage, not the 128 gig.
Yes.
So that you can take advantage of all the features that come along with the new video capture.
Right.
And I'm totally drawing a blank on the right words to use there because top men.
Let's see.
But yeah, video. 256 gig. That's the base that you should get, not the 128.
There's macro video. There's more.
I think it's for the cinema video.
Right. Cinematic mode. Which is interesting. One of the things I said on TDO last week was that I'm interested to see what cinematic mode does in the world of social media video, TikTok and Instagram Reels in particular. Like, yeah. Is it going to be a gimmick there, or is it going to be used super creatively by, you know, these hordes of very talented, mostly young people?
I have a hypothesis.
I want to hear it.
Okay. My hypothesis is that the majority of people will be using it in a gimmicky way, but there will be a handful of people that really get it. And so they will be using this in a very creative way. And then you'll see the gimmicky people try to mimic what the creative people are doing. And so then you'll have this cluster of people that are doing really cool stuff, this cluster of people that are very gimmicky, and this cluster of people that are just making messy videos because
they're trying to mimic what someone else is doing.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. Okay, so I guess I can move that from hypothesis to theory.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It does remain to be seen, and I'm assuming we're going to start like seeing stuff. What is her name? There's a dancer, Kelly Dactyl. Have you seen her stuff?
And her sister, Tara.
Well, that's clearly what she's doing. She does a lot of dancing stuff, and she does a lot of stuff where the camera is moving with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I saw a lot of the stuff first with her. I'm interested to see if she does something with cinematic mode, for instance. I'll tell you what, I'll include a link to in the show notes,
yes, Kelly Dackel.
She's a very, very, she also seems to have a sense of humor that comes through.
Yeah, I already mentioned her sister Tara, but you know about her other sister Polly.
You are not helping things, sir.
No. And yet, yes.
Okay, so that's the 13.
Mm-hmm.
Discuss that.
Yep.
Did you find it very interesting how proud they were of the blue?
Yes. Also kind of weird.
Well, yes and no. Another thing that I said on TDO was that Apple does not get anywhere near enough credit for the materials processing processes that they invent. They're doing all kinds of things all the time with a lot of their product, like especially with Apple Watch, but also iPhone, mm-hmm. where they're doing just amazing things with materials that they normally don't make a big deal of.
Yeah, that's true.
But they were proud of this blue.
They were very proud of this blue. And part of me wonders how much of the public actually cares. They're just like, is it the color that I want? Or they're saying, why don't we have purple this year?
They don't care how
Apple got the blue. They just know it's the blue that they want.
Yeah. And I bought a blue 12 and I promptly stuck a case on it. And so I went back to space gray this year.
You know, I bought a blue 12 Pro and then put Apple's blue case on it.
Mm-hmm. The silicone one?
Yes.
Yeah, I have that. Is it what I have now? Yeah, that's actually what's on my 12 Pro. And it's a great case and everything. Give me leather, man.
No, I get what you're saying. I really like the silicone case. And after about 6 months, I think it's holding up very nicely.
It does hold up.
Yet the edges on the back on mine are all shiny.
Like, and I've had mine on for about 4 months longer than you have. And it's the same for me.
Yeah. And it's just, it's just worn to a polished finish from use. Mm. And the That's back of the phone of that.
What?
I missed you.
What did I say?
You said that your case is holding up equally well. That's what you said. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. A nice leather case is pretty nice.
Yeah.
Based on what the colors are this year, I think I probably would have gone with the gray again because I like the pro gray color better than the pro blue color.
Well,
but even getting the blue last time and then putting a blue case on it, it's okay. It's for me, it doesn't matter if other people know I have a blue phone. It's a psychological thing. I love that I have the blue phone.
I don't care about other people noticing. That's not my thing. I know that, and that's fine if it's your thing or, you, the listener. But the thing with iPhones is that, in my opinion, they need a case. And in that I'm not an animal, I don't like using a clear case. That's right. If you're using a clear case on your iPhone, you're an animal.
Or an exhibitionist.
I'm kidding.
And if you're an exhibitionist, that's okay as long as everyone else is consenting.
True. And I'm kidding about the animal thing, but I clear cases bug me because while you get to see your beautiful phone, you're seeing your beautiful phone through like a clear case. And so that to me defeats the point of having the clear case. Does that make any sense? But we're all wired differently and we're going to, do our own thing. And that's fine. And there are people who like glitter in their cases. That's fine too.
Hey, glitter's fun. The problem I have with clear cases is that oftentimes all the little gunky stuff, dust and dirt and little flecks of whatever get inside the case. And now you're seeing the grungy inside of the case. And if you're not just like taking the case off consistently and cleaning it out, putting it back on, it just looks grungy to me.
Right. But again, it definitely takes all kinds of different people. And there are people who aren't paranoid enough that they walk around with their iPhone actually being nude. So you can see that gorgeous material.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I drop my phone.
I laud all those people.
Yeah. Right. Rock on with them.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So next. Apple Watch 7. I was pretty excited about it, but you don't seem all that excited.
Well, you would be wrong. I'm actually very excited about it, and I love what they're doing with the watch, and yet I'm not planning on buying one. I'm sticking with my Series 4 for one more year. What would change my mind at this point, I believe, is if my battery conked out. And then I would just replace the phone as opposed to trying to get a new battery in this thing. Replace the watch, excuse me.
You've gone from being like, yeah, you know, I'm getting this. It's part of my job. This is back when you were full-time at TMO. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not a watch guy. I'm not gonna wear it, to pretty much wearing it all the time, right?
Yeah. And just to show how complicated people are, I am still not a watch guy, but I've got my Apple Watch on right now.
Yeah, we've talked about that a lot, but I've become pretty addicted to the information.
I love having data. The notifications, because yeah. I'm controlling what notifications go to my watch.
Yeah, same.
And I like having a handy S-Lady communication tool, because sometimes my HomePods just aren't hearing me right, or my phone might be face down on the table, and so I have a reliable S-Lady with me, and of course I'm tracking my fitness stuff, and it's great for that.
Right, it's same. Was me for just about all of that. So one of the things I really liked about the 7 is the smaller bezel. So you get more display on the same footprint. And that's the big reason for me for upgrading.
You know, that's the compelling thing for me on the 7 as well. And okay, so when the 6 came out, I looked at that and I thought, this is a really good Apple Watch upgrade. I really like it. But it didn't add in new health or fitness sensors that, to me, were compelling enough to upgrade from my 4.
You don't like blood oxygen? So my assumption was,
you don't have that on the 4.
You can see if you've got the COVID.
I can see if I've got the COVID, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. All right, hold on. For anyone listening. The Apple Watch 6 does not test for COVID, but falling oxygen rates in your blood can be a symptom of COVID-19.
Yes. And the blood oxygen sensor to me was pretty cool, and it's something that I would like to have, but you know how fickle people can be, and that wasn't enough on its own to make me replace my Series 4. So my assumption was Series 7 would come out and it would add in something else, some other sensor that to me, and I don't know what the sensor would be. Maybe it's the glucose, non-invasive glucose monitoring. Oh, yeah, I don't know. Duh. But, you know, it would have something that would make me think, okay, now is the year for me to upgrade, because the always on display didn't really draw me in. I mean, it's nice, but it wasn't a compelling thing for me. And then 7 comes out and I see that new display and I'm like, okay, that's a really compelling thing. I really like that. But it didn't add in any new sensors. And since the sensors for me were the big thing that made me not upgrade to the 6, and we didn't see changes there, I wasn't compelled to get a 7 whenever that comes out this fall. So now it's the 8 for me. And my guess is that the 8 will change up the sensors, give us something new, and I'll be like, there we go. That's the new watch for me.
Yeah, I just feel like I'm looking at the pictures on Apple's page of right now I'm looking at the section on Apple Watch 7 Series, Apple Watch Series 7, where it says apps specifically designed to do everything. And so you've got a series of a bunch of watches right there on the screen. And man, that way smaller bezel is just, it looks super useful to me.
Yeah. I really like the bigger face, the smaller bezel, and that the watch body didn't change in any significant way, so our bands still work.
Right. One thing that I don't really care about is this semi edge-on view with this display. Like, and Apple likes to show it with the watch face that stretches out to the edge.
And oh, right.
Like I'm looking at right now the image on the Apple Watch Series 7 page, where you're looking at a green Apple Watch edge on, and you can see the numbers sort of along the edge. I don't care about that. I feel like that is going to be every bit as useless as the Samsung Edge.
I agree. But it's a good way to visually represent just how much of that surface is display.
It does make for excellent marketing.
Yeah. But I'm with you.
I don't think it's going to be like materially better for anyone.
I agree. I'm not in the habit of looking at my watch face at an oblique angle. I mean, yeah. I turn my wrist and I look at it square on.
And I noticed that they don't show any kind of watch hand on that edge on view, which means to me that you won't be able to see that. So like, it'll be even more, I'm going to put it differently. It's going to be even less useful than the Galaxy Edge from Samsung, because they did put some information on that edge on view.
Well, okay. Where it's useful is not edge on. It's when you're looking straight at the screen.
Oh, I'm talking about the edge on feature though. Yeah. Yeah. When you're looking straight on the screen, that larger screen, it's great.
Yeah, edge on is, to me, that's not a feature. That's a marketing tool to make it clear just how much space is being used for the display. Doing edge on viewing with a watch, I can't, at least today, come up with a reasonable use case scenario. Mm-mm.
And it remains to be seen when I actually get that thing. I could end up singing its praises. The praises of the edge on view. I know. I expect to sing the praises of the device as a whole.
Oh yeah, and it's totally possible that this thing will come out, and I'll get to see one, and I will just have this amazing lust for the display, so much so that I'm like, screw it, I'm getting one.
I'll just hold mine up to the screen between us and the recording studio.
Right. Yeah, because you'll be back in the actual studio, not in the mobile studio.
Right. Right. So the other feature that I really like is the added battery life.
See, that's nice. But you're still not getting multiple days off of it.
No, and, but I wasn't.
I complain about that, but at the same time, do we have the technology to pack a multi-day watch into this device?
No, I don't think we do. And I don't even, like, I don't even see what that solves, because I still have to take it off at some point to charge it.
Okay, what that solves, what it shows is that you're a city boy, and I'm not saying that in a negative way. It's simply an observation.
And it's also true.
Yeah, and you're not doing something where you're going to go, say, camping
for you're right.
a couple nights, and you want to use your watch, but you're not going to bring an extra charger just so you can use your watch. So, like for me, if I'm going to do anything that's more than a day hike, my Apple Watch isn't going with me. And even on the day hike, I better make sure that I have a charge on my watch, like a full charge, before I hop in the car and go out to wherever I'm going to hike, because otherwise my battery may be pretty much dead before I get back to my car at the end of the hike.
That is all fair. If I was going camping, I would take one of Canix. I think Belkin Hal has one, a portable battery with an Apple Watch charger on it.
And that's very cool.
And that, I love less it. Useful on a hike.
Yeah. Yeah. Less useful on a hike. But, you know, I mean, yes, there are options, but the fact that that this to me is still a watch that's designed for urban use specifically is a problem.
But that's fine, because I'm a city boy.
Right. And so I need to stop complaining, because yes. this isn't about me.
It's not about you. It's about me. No. So on a serious level, all right, as serious as I can be, my initial, like, why do we need multi-be charging was really based simply on the mechanics of charging my Apple Watch. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like projecting like all of my own uses based entirely on that subject. And a multi-day, like, the problem with Apple Watch in terms of sleep tracking, in terms of health tracking and step tracking and activity tracking, all those things, is that you have to take it off to charge it. And if I have to take mm-hmm. it off every 3 days or 2 days or 7 days, I'm actually more likely to forget that than if I have to do it daily. And so, like, until Apple Watch, like, if they could do like an automatic where there is like a mechanical timepieces have a spring-loaded winder, mm-hmm. and every time you move your wrist, this is some mechanical timepieces have this, and so that you never have to actually wind it, because it's constantly being wound while you're doing stuff. Now, until Apple can do something like that, where you don't have to take it off at all, or you just don't ever have to think about charging it, I don't see the advantages of multi-day use compared to day-long use, with the exception of your very outdoor scenario.
Yeah, for your use case, sure, I can see that. For my use case, it's a limitation.
Right.
But at the same time, what a great problem to have. Your battery in your device lasts long enough that you need to have reminders, otherwise you'll forget to charge it. That seems like right. a great problem.
First world problems for sure. And to be clear, what you describe is super important for a lot of people. Like, I wonder what a century runner, like, what do they do?
They don't use an Apple Watch.
They're probably using
a Garmin.
Or, you know, like the insane cyclist people too. And not to mention ordinary just hikers, because, you know, as you get out of range of stuff, I don't think you actually laid this out, but when you get out of range of stuff, the radios are constantly trying to communicate, which sucks the battery faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those are definitely.
And then if you put everything into airplane mode to save battery, then your tracking is not very accurate.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So longer battery life is good,
mm-hmm.
for sure. And I am excited about the 2 hours? Hour and a half?
In Series 7? Something like that. It wasn't significant enough that I went, ooh. If they had left everything the same, but said, and now it has a 3-day battery life, and it's a Series 6 with a longer battery life, significantly longer.
That got you.
That might have been enough to get me to get a Series 7.
Interesting. So I'd love to hear, listen, folks, if you have thoughts on the Apple Watch Series 7, if you want to tell me to go F myself for many of my incredibly pompous, narcissistic, self-centered views, just like, lay it on me. I'm here to listen and learn.
Yes, everyone, school Brian.
Yeah, let me have it. All right. So also, let me tell you about LinkedIn Jobs. You ready?
I am so ready.
Okay. Well, first of all, everyone's busy, right? You know, like, COVID times have made hiring different. It turns out as we go through life that we tend to get busier than not. And LinkedIn Jobs has made it way easier to get the candidates worth interviewing faster, and it's free. You can create a job post for free in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 770 million people. You can focus on candidates with the skills and experience you need. You can use screening questions to get your role in front of only the most qualified people. And then you can use the simple tools on LinkedIn Jobs to quickly filter and prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. And that's the thing I like most. It's the ability to manage not only your job postings, but your candidates for those job postings all from the same place in a very easy to use interface that gives you the tools that you need to do the whole thing easily. And that helps. Now, the fact that you're able to do that on top of the LinkedIn network of so many people makes it all the better. And LinkedIn Jobs can help you find the candidates worth interviewing faster. Did you know that every week, nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/ACM. That's linkedin.com/ACM to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. And I'm very appreciative of LinkedIn Jobs for sponsoring this episode of the Apple Context Machine. Now, Jeff, is that your name?
Brian. Yeah. Checking name tag. Yes.
Excellent. Okay. Jeff.
Brian.
iPad mini. I know that was something you were excited about.
Yeah. Is it inappropriate to say I covet the new iPad mini?
It'd only be inappropriate if it wasn't true.
It is so true. I am so excited about the new iPad mini.
Well, let me interject with this. This iPad mini was, I think, the previous iPad mini update was like a fairly strong update. But this update to the iPad mini is the first time I felt like Apple was really taking this product seriously. And that it wasn't just we should make a smaller one too, I guess. There are some people that want that. It seems like a really compelling device. So now, Mm-hmm. Take over.
Okay. So I felt like the iPad mini, when it was released, was a good device. And then
it's good enough, you know, by device. The time
I mean, it was very functional and fit a space that at least enough people needed so that they kept making it. And by the time we got to the 4, I felt like it was just we're doing the updates because we're kind of obligated to. People are still buying this, so let's just kind of keep doing some updates. And then the 5, they did some nice stuff to refresh it a little bit, and but not enough where I felt like, you know, I really need to buy this. But then when they showed off the 6, I'm like, okay, Apple is serious about this device again. And holy crap, this is amazing. And this is the iPad mini that I want.
Yeah, I would even say that previous updates like would be like what you would get if you want something bigger in your iPhone, but you just absolutely hate the full size. Like, it's just mm-hmm. too big for you. Like, you read, for instance, on your back in bed, and you don't want to hold the full-size iPad or the iPad Pro above your head.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We've talked about that relatively minor yet consequential thing on past shows. But the iPad mini has always felt like the red-headed stepchild of the iPad family until now.
Yeah, I begrudgingly agree with you, and it's begrudgingly because I don't want to believe it, but yeah, you're right. That's kind of how this product has been treated until now. But holy crap, this is such a great iPad.
Well, tell us why you think that.
Okay, well, first, to preface. I have an iPad workflow where I'm actually using multiple iPads on a regular basis. So I will use my iPad Pro 12.9 inch as a content creation device. And so I'll be doing work on that device, you know, similar to the way I work on my Mac, where I'm creating stuff all the time. And then I will use the iPad mini as a secondary device with the iPad. So it's more of a content consumption device, even though I can do creation there as well. Along with content consumption, I'll be doing communication stuff on it. So different messaging platforms, emails, all that. But I'll be doing research on the mini while I'm doing stuff on the iPad Pro. So it becomes a second yet independent screen for my iPad Pro. And then content that I'm finding on the mini that I need to reference on the Pro, either I just send it right over, or I've got the screen right there where I can read it while I'm doing something on the Pro. So these are devices that work together for me.
Okay, and I get that. A little unique there.
Probably. And I'm okay. I like being special.
But so that's your workflow. Why do you think this new iPad mini is such a worthy upgrade?
It gives me a bigger screen in the same form factor, essentially. Same dimensions. Okay. And I do really like that. I like that I now get a faster processor. My iPad Mini 4 I can feel its age now. It's just not the snappy machine that it was a few years ago. So having something that's a little more responsive will be nice. Having something that has newer Wi-Fi and Bluetooth in it would be nice because of the accessories and networking that I have. And
The fact that it now has a USB-C port, that's big for me, because now I have as close to universal dongles as I'm going to get, because that's not going to change for the iPhone. But for the devices that I'm using primarily, which would be my MacBook Pro, my iPad Pro, and an iPad Mini, I have all the same connectors across all the devices. And so that's a really nice feature. And then the super awesome bonus is that the new iPad Mini supports Apple Pencil 2. So I have one stylus that I can go back and forth, practically speaking, between two iPads, and that's absolutely awesome. I mean, yes, I have to set it on the charger thing on each iPad real quick so that the Pencil knows which device it's talking to, but that's not a big deal. So it's just click and I'm typing, or writing, click and I'm writing. I love the fact that I'll have this, I don't want to use the word synergy because it just really bugs me, but I'll have this very fluid and well integrated system between these devices that I'm using all the time.
This segment was brought to you by Synergy. Synergy! Jeff has it.
Why do you hate me?
I don't. I love you. All right. So big screen, big thing. Faster processor, big mm-hmm. thing. New mm-hmm. radios, great thing. Mm-hmm. Moving, getting rid of the home button, great thing to me. I love using my iOS and iPadOS devices without a home button. The swipe up from the bottom
same.
Is better.
I agree, as does your office manager. Yeah. I didn't know if that would be the case initially, when we got rid of the home button. A couple yes. devices that still have home buttons.
Yes.
I don't like having the home button.
Okay, but here's what I wish. So Apple moved okay. Touch ID on this thing to the top. Right, the Touch ID sensor is your power button or your sleep-wake button, depending on what you want to call it, at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish they would just move to Face ID for everything. Get rid of Touch ID. Have one thing across all these devices so that it's just consistent for people.
I agree. That's one place that I look at on this model and I'm thinking, if only. And I know there's people that really like Touch ID and aren't Face ID fans, but Face ID works really well for me.
And that's it's
yeah, and just being
works
able
well
to
for
do
us, so that's all that counts.
That's all that counts. Yeah, do a quick flick on the screen to get the lock screen out of the way as I'm looking at the display. That's great.
Yeah.
If
they're going to keep Touch ID, moving it off the front of the device is great. And until and, when they could actually somehow embed it underneath the display. So that part I like. I like if they have to use Touch ID, moving it to the top button is a superior choice. I just would... again, want to see that consistency. And I also want to see the consistency of USB-C everywhere.
Yes. Yep.
I don't like having to have two cables to manage my different device, or I'm sorry, to power my different devices.
Yeah. Part of that problem has been alleviated for me because of Qi charging, but I am with you. It's in my computer bag, I have two sets of dongles. So I've duplicated my dongles. So I have my Lightning dongles and I have my USB-C dongles.
You said dongles.
I said dongle. Yeah. And I would love to be able to ditch the Lightning dongles and have just the USB-C stuff, and that's it.
Now, I realize I'm the guy that said Apple would never move its iOS devices because at the time it was iOS, to USB-C because they can't control licensing like they can for Lightning. I realize I'm the guy that said that, and I was wrong. But having made the partial move to USB-C, I want to see everything move to USB-C.
Yep, I'm with you.
My AirPods Pro and AirPods, and then my AirPods Max, they all use Lightning. My iPhones use Lightning, and my iPads use USB-C. And that's and not all of those devices will charge with Qi.
Right.
So, yeah.
On the AirPods Pro, the first time I went to charge them, I just walked over to the charger that's always plugged into the wall for the iPad Pro. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't figure out why I couldn't get the cable in.
Mm-hmm.
And funny. Honestly, I had forgotten that the AirPods Pro case is Lightning and not USB-C.
Sure.
Because, I mean, if you look at the bottom of your case on AirPods Pro, I mean, that looks kind of like a USB-C plug right there.
It could be, yeah. So, you know, all these are relatively minor kvetches. The point is the iPad mini is a fantastic upgrade. The improvement to the display alone is probably worth, you know, this new iterative design, but then the new radios, moving the sleep button and the faster processor, it's just great. It's a good device. It's a great device.
I agree. I have one other nitpick with it.
Yeah,
the base model should be 128 instead of 64.
Yeah, there should be nothing with 64.
Right, and because, you know, I looked at what I want, and I have not ordered one yet, but I looked at what I wanted, and I'm like, well, there's no option here. It's 256 gig, and that's it, because the 64 gig is not a reasonable storage option.
Nope. Well, it may be for some classroom settings, kiosk settings, and other specialized work uses.
Sure. Okay. So now you have an educational model.
Model.
That's not Apple's way. They're not going to have this as. Yeah. They're just going to have it as an option
and let you choose. But you know, I fear that they're letting some people set themselves up for failure with that.
Oh yeah, and it happens all the time. I know so many people that decided to save a couple bucks and get the lower storage, because why would I ever need that much? And it doesn't take long before they lament the fact that they got less storage.
Yeah. Right. And so, you know, fine, maybe they'll have learned the next time around, but maybe they won't have, and then they're still unhappy.
Right.
And that seems like unnecessary shooting yourself in the foot on Apple's part.
Right.
Because sometimes shooting yourself in the foot is necessary. Apparently. Okay, here's the funny thing, Jeff. We had two topics and we're going to do a short show. And we didn't get to one of the topics and we're way over.
Okay, well, we're consistent.
We are consistent. Okay, so let me see. Let me do this and say that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write me at acm@macobserver.com. Our bandwidths are provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO this week. Jeff Gamet was here actually before I thank Jeff. I'll thank LinkedIn Jobs for sponsoring this episode. And again, you can post your job for free at linkedin.com/ACM. That's linkedin.com/ACM to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. And Jeff, thanks for joining me, man.
Well, thanks for having me back. It's always loads of fun to get to spend some time with you. And And, you know, yeah, just hugs to you.
I mean, I don't actually care, but apparently I'm supposed to pretend empathy. And can you tell us where else our listeners can find you? Am I doing this right? Am I doing this human thing right?
Yeah, you've pretty much nailed it. I mean, you're doing better than Mark Zuckerberg, so go you.
Mark Zuckerberg does not have the wisdom to wield the power that he has amassed. I've said it before, and I'm going to keep saying it.
And this is absolutely true. Yeah.
So tell us where we can find you.
Okay, so people can find me on Twitter and Instagram, named Jay Gamut both places. Also, youtube.com/JayGamut, because I make some videos. Mm-hmm. And and then lots of podcasts. And you know, if you haven't checked out Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights, that's Chuck Joyner's panel Apple discussion show. And it's a lot of fun, and I'm regularly there. So go check.
That is great. All right, man. The dogs are going nuts, so I'm going to do this.